In a still unpublished manuscript on the way conservative economics has failed us, my friend Eric Zeus remarked, quote, "The Greek debt is not really a debt of the Greek people," close quote. He goes on to identify the, quote, "institutional creditors, Eurobanks, high-risk kleptocrats, oligarchs, and bankers who siphoned most of the euros into overseas Swiss accounts and other foreign investments, devoid of any capacity to generate income to pay back the debt," close quote. Eric's statement is profound, pointing to the ways that those in power play with our lives and then displace the responsibility to their innocent victims. While I'm sure that some will argue that elections gave the Greek people some complicity, Eric accurately points to the ability of those primarily responsible to displace the costs of their own misbehavior. I think we can see that pattern all over modern public affairs. What responsibility did the refugees in Syria or Iraq have for the wars that took their lives, homes, and livelihoods? What responsibility did unemployed Americans have for the depression that was engineered by banks too big to fail? Banks which traded worthless securities in an enormous Ponzi scheme for which they have not been prosecuted. The Supreme Court has cleared the manufacturers of failed medical devices for rupturing in our bodies, but why is it somehow the responsibility of the victims to absorb the injuries and the costs? This is a pattern. The rich and powerful do the damage and outsource the costs to the rest of us. Terrorists take advantage of that. They attack the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on 9/11. But the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Middle East have paid the price of our response, innocent men, women, and children, polarizing regions and sweeping us into the whirlwind. Our failure to calibrate the response had much wider repercussions. The British, French, Germans, and Spanish have suffered similar terrorist attacks, actually over many decades from many different groups, but they have managed to restrain their responses. England fought in the so-called Troubles of Northern Ireland, but finally learned that their response was devastating the wrong people and making the problem worse. The Spanish restrained their response to the Basques. All restrained their response to leftist terror. They responded with police work, ultimately capturing and trying many of the terrorists. For many Americans, anything but an all-out response seems unacceptable. Politicians attack restraint as weakness, not strength. And of course, ordinary Americans pay the price. We pay it in the deficit in taxes, in the lives of our loved ones, in foreign wars, and in civil liberties at home. But those who benefit are immune. Major suppliers of paramilitary forces abroad, like Blackwater and Halliburton, get more contracts while they supply deniability to American leadership for their violations of human rights. These are bad bargains. Will we have leadership capable of leading, capable of explaining to the American people, and standing strong in the face of hotheads for whom an indiscriminate overreaction is the only so-called manly response? Will we have leadership capable of zeroing in on the perpetrators of economic collapse, mortgage failure, and malfunctioning products? Isn't it time to stop blaming the people for the misbehavior of the oligarchs? Or will the rulers, paraphrasing Thomas Hardy's conclusion to Tessa the D'Urbervilles, end their sport with us?